You guys remember those commercials? 37-year-old Mark lives at home. He makes these unrealistic demands on his parents. Room service, a hot breakfast, free internet, points for airline miles. And everybody laughs. What do you think this is? A Holiday Inn. And you know, sometimes when we pray, I wonder if we talk to God kind of like Mark talked to his parents. Our Father in heaven, give me financial riches, perfect health, obedient and gifted children, a good parking space, and let me break 90 on the golf course this afternoon. While you're at it, my family would prefer to vacation in the Caymans rather than Myrtle Beach, and please make it snappy if you don't mind. And if we aren't careful, we start to treat prayer kind of like a call to room service. You pick up the phone, you place an order, and you wait for a knock at the door. And I wonder if sometimes God is thinking, what do you think this is? Holiday Inn? You know, we're in the middle of a series right now on prayer. It's called It's Me Again, God. Jesus has been teaching us that prayer is more than a click list at Kroger or an order on Amazon. It's about a relationship with the God of the universe. And it's why we talked about praise being an important aspect of our prayers. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, or holy is your name. We exalt God for who he is. And then there's surrender, what we talked about last Sunday. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will, not mine, Lord. Your will, not mine. I surrender to you. You're in charge. It's whatever you want. Today we're going to see that there is room in our prayers for request. In fact, it's another critical aspect of how we communicate with God. Now, it's not that God is ignorant of our needs. He's just waiting up in heaven for us to tell him what to do next. I mean, Jesus said in Matthew 6:8, your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. But as we express our request to God, it makes us, I think, more aware of what we really need. How important is this to me? Am I praying about this, taking this to the Lord? It also reminds us who to thank when we've been blessed. Jesus prayed in Matthew 6:11, give us today our daily bread. And those six words set the stage for what I want us to focus on this morning. First, Jesus welcomes our requests. Okay, in Luke, the disciples specifically asked Jesus for advice on how to pray. And he included in his prayers, in his model prayer, Lord, give us daily bread. We are allowed, we're encouraged, we are invited to ask God for things. Specifically, we ask God for what we need. It's daily bread. It's not a Lamborghini. It's not a chalet in the Alps. It's not even filet mignon. It's daily bread, the bare necessities. And there are numerous examples in the Bible of the Lord meeting physical needs. In the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he miraculously fed the crowd of 5,000 plus. He met their need. He calmed the storm that threatened the disciples. He met their need. He turned water into wine to help a desperate couple at their wedding reception. He met the need. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He made sure that Peter had the money to pay his taxes. A woman asked her preacher one time if it was appropriate to pray to God about little things. And he said, ma'am, can you tell me which of your problems is big to God? He can handle it. We take our needs to him. You know, when I come home in the evenings, Gail likes for me to tell her about my day. And the truth is, she really wants to know. She wants to hear the details, the uninspiring, boring details. She really likes to hear that. Truth is, I'm pretty talked out a lot of times by the end of a day, but she kind of takes what she can get. But the reality is, she wants to know. Because we love each other. And that's how God is. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to invite him into our day. He wants us to share our hopes and fears, our needs and wants with him. Give us today our daily bread. Because our daily bread is important to him. Now notice he says, give us, not just give me. I mean, of course it's appropriate for me to pray for my needs and myself, and you to pray for your needs yourself, but Jesus is reminding us that we don't only pray for ourselves. We don't just focus on our daily bread. We want other people to have bread. And we're going to talk more about this in a couple of weeks. But we need to be concerned about people who don't have access to bread or people who can't afford bread. We're concerned about those suffering from the wildfires in California, those who are suffering in the war in Ukraine or the hunger in Gaza, the hostages in the Middle East, the persecuted church in Nigeria, the miners trapped in South Africa. The needs of the world should concern us and be in our prayers. Tomorrow in our country is both Inauguration Day and it's Martin Luther King Day. And so we pray for our nation and the transition of leadership. We pray for racial reconciliation, for our culture to look beyond the color of a person's skin to the content of their character. We bring all of those needs to God. Some of you are going to be praying tomorrow night for Ohio State or Notre Dame if you care about the national championship in football. We pray about stuff. We pray about needs, that God will bless us, that God will bless our community, that He'll bless the nation, that He will bless the nations of the world through the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. But notice also here that Jesus teaches us to ask every day, give us today our daily bread. Some people sort of treat prayer like a 911 call. You only do it when you need it. And only when you're desperate. And look, the best thing to do when you're desperate is to pray. It's just that that should not be the only time we pray. Some people kind of operate on the weekly plan. Well, God is at church, I'll talk to Him on Sunday. But we are called to talk to God every day, to be in communication with Him. Jesus made it clear, it's a daily thing that we communicate with the Lord. We set aside time every day to talk to Him. Man, when a couple is dating and they're really in love, you never hear one of them say, you know, honey, I love you so much, but we've just been spending so much time together. I think that maybe we need to cut back a little bit. Let's say we talk on the phone 10 minutes every Tuesday and we'll try to see each other every other weekend. No, that never happens. If you've got high schoolers and they're dating somebody, man, you're never going to have to deal with that as a problem. When you're in love, you want to spend time together. And yet the challenge is that we talk about how much we love God, we sing about it, and yet oftentimes we don't talk to Him. And I'm not even talking about some huge long period of time, especially if this is kind of a new thing for you. I think one of the dangers of sort of holding up some of those great saints who pray for 2 or 3 hours a day is that people hear that and they go, well, man, I'm such a failure. I'll never be able to do that. And they don't do anything at all. Man, try to carve out 10 or 15 minutes during your day to read some verses in the Bible. You know, we're doing this year-long reading through the New Testament. We've got Bible reading plans at Welcome Central and at the cafe. Pick up one of those. Jump in. If you haven't done it yet, we're wrapping up the Gospel of Mark this week. But read some verses in the Bible and then talk to God. Have some quiet time with Him. Maybe the Lord's Prayer becomes kind of a, not a checklist, but just a model for you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We take time for praise, celebrating God for who He is, His amazing qualities. And then your kingdom come, your will be done. And we're surrendering to Him. Lord, not my will, but your will. Give us today our daily bread. It's request. Lord, meet my needs according to your abundance. Please, Lord. Now, if you want to know what the other components of prayer are that we're going to talk about, you got to come back. But I think that we're seeing that it's more than just give me this, I want that. And what happens when we pray in faith? Man, God meets our needs. He hears and He responds. He is faithful to take care of His children. King David said in Psalm 37, I once was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Jesus said in Matthew 28, I'll be with you always. He said in John 16, ask and you will receive. Now, we talked last week, we have to pray according to God's will. 8-year-old Danny Dutton from California wrote an essay about God, and he offered a really important warning. He said, God sees everything, God hears everything, God is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something they already said you couldn't have. Just some little wise advice. God is going to meet our needs according to his will. We talked about this last week under surrender. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Now, I think that we also infer here from Jesus' prayer that God meets our needs daily. We pray for daily bread, not a weekly loaf, not monthly stash of bread, not some annual warehouse full of bread. We pray for daily bread, and God meets our needs daily. You remember in the Old Testament when God miraculously fed the Israelites in the wilderness by sending manna from heaven. The word manna literally means, what is it? It's like the people walked out the first time they saw it, they said, holy smokes, manna, what is it? And what it was, holy smokes was in the Hebrew. What it was bread from heaven that sustained them through some long, lean, difficult seasons in the wilderness. It was literally daily bread. Listen to Exodus 16:4. The Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. See, a double portion was allowed on Fridays, so they did not have to work on the Saturday. But basically, they were only to gather enough bread for each day. And no big surprise, the first morning the manna came, these people who were so nervous and so desperate, some of them hoarded more than they needed for that day. And the next day, the Bible says it was moldy and it even had maggots in it. And the point was, every day, get enough for today. Every day, enough for today. It was one day at a time, one day at a time. Trust me today. Depend on me today, each and every day. And the lesson here is pivotal. Rather than expecting God to just pour out some huge storehouse of supply, we need to hold his hand and trust his care every day. Dwight L. Moody suggested that we cannot eat enough food today to sustain us for the next 6 months. We cannot take in one big breath and expect it to last for a week. And neither can we take in a supply of God's goodness today that'll last for the rest of our lives. It's a day-by-day thing. We draw upon God's storehouse of grace every day. Give us today our daily bread. And you know what? He does. In fact, sometimes, God even supplies our needs dramatically. Isaiah 43 begins, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you drive on 245 in the snow, when you walk through the fire, the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And you think about it. Who passed through the waters? Well, the children of Israel did, right? When God parted the waters of the Red Sea and let them kind of pass through on dry ground in order to escape the Egyptian army. Who passed through the rivers? Well, Joshua and the Israelites did when God parted the waters of the Jordan River and they crossed over into the Holy Land. Or when Elisha and Elijah actually crossed the Jordan River in exactly the same way when God parted the waters for them. Who walked through the fire? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did. When they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship an idol. The Old Testament tells us that God spared their lives and kept them safe through the flames. In fact, we sang that song just a little bit ago that Dawn led for us. Trust in God is the song. The first two lines say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. And that's talking about this account of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because the Bible says, after they were thrown into the furnace, not only did they not burn up, but the king saw a fourth man in the fire with them. And many scholars believe it was not just an angel, but it was actually Jesus himself during the Old Testament times who was with them in the fire. These are huge, dramatic examples that we see in Scripture of God's providence. But it didn't always happen that way. God did not always intervene that way. He allowed the disciples to be persecuted mercilessly during the first century. He let the Apostle Paul continue to struggle with a thorn in his flesh, some physical affliction that forced him to depend upon God. It kept him humble, and it kept him close to the Lord. God let his own son die on the cross so that we could experience the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternity. Sometimes God doesn't intervene. It's not Holiday Inn. But listen, he is able to answer our prayers. Sometimes he does it in dramatic ways. And friends, he still does it today. He does. Sometimes. Earl Feathers was an elder at Kingsport Christian Church in Kingsport, Tennessee, and he told about his daughter and son-in-law. They were sailing in the Atlantic Ocean. A storm blew them off course. It destroyed their sail. It shattered their mast. And after days of drifting in the ocean, days praying relentlessly, a huge yacht saw them, came alongside them, and rescued them. And they exclaimed to the owner of the yacht, man, it's incredible, you saw us, we were afraid we would never be found. He said, what's really incredible is that we have been on autopilot for hours and we're 10 miles off course. And you say, God answers prayer. Back when I was on staff at The Ridge, a church in Columbus, Indiana, my phone rang one cold winter night. And it was a friend of mine named Jeff Sullivan. Jeff said, Mark, this is a crazy call, but do you know somebody named Brandy Glackman? And I said, well, yeah, I do. She just moved into our church's rental house right next door to the church. And he said, well, I don't know Brandy at all. Never met her, but she just called me out of the blue. I answered the phone. She asked me if I went to The Ridge. When I said yes, she asked me if I knew Mark Jones. When I said yes, she asked if I had your phone number. When I said yes, she asked me if I would call you. And then he went on to explain why she called. She filled in the gaps later on. She had walked out the door that night. She had her two little girls and her baby in her arms. She fiddled around with the door. She locked it. She closed it. She realized she didn't have her keys or her phone. And it's dark and the baby's crying and it's freezing cold. And she didn't know what to do. So she and the girls prayed. She'd been learning about the Lord. And they prayed. And somebody walked by out on the sidewalk, and she said, do you go to The Ridge? And they said, no. And she said, do you have a phone? Could I make a phone call? They handed her the phone. She did not know my number by heart. She did not know the phone number of anybody at The Ridge. She dialed 812 because that was the area code. She dialed 343 because that was a common phone number in Columbus. And then she made up the last four digits. When Jeff answered the phone, she said, you go to The Ridge? Yep. You know Mark Jones? Yep. Got his number? Yep. Would you call him? Yep. And I went over and I got her in the house. It's not quite as dramatic as a rescue at sea, but it's pretty cool. Pretty good. Bill McCartney, founder of Promise Keepers, passed away just last week. And he was an amazing football coach at Colorado University. He was a faithful, dedicated Christian man. And for years, Promise Keeper rallies challenged men to rise up, to be the husbands and fathers that God called them to be disciples of Jesus. And he told a story in his book, Sold Out, about a young woman named Mary who called home from college one afternoon back in the 90s, and she told her parents that she had fallen in love and she wanted to bring her boyfriend home to meet them. Her dad immediately said, "Is he a Christian?" And Mary said, "No, Daddy, but he's wonderful. He's loving. He's kind. He just loves me and takes care of me." And her dad was very blunt. "Do not bring him home. He's not the one for you." And they argued, and Mary was so upset, she hung up the phone in tears. A few months later, she and her boyfriend were married. Mom and Dad did not go to the wedding, and she was just wrecked how their relationship had been severed so completely. 6 years later, Mary convinced her husband to go to a Promise Keepers rally, the one in San Diego. On the first night of the conference, there was an evangelistic message. There was an invitation to come forward and accept Christ. Hundreds of men responded to the invitation that night, and one of them was Mary's husband. And he came forward, and there were dozens of decision counselors up front meeting the different men. He randomly walked up to a guy who was there, talked about the Lord, and then he said, "This is the biggest moment of my life. I can't tell you how good this feels, but there's something that worries me. 6 years ago, I married a Christian woman. We married without her parents' consent. And now that this has happened to me, I want to meet them, but I don't know if they will accept me or not." And the decision counselor said, "What's your wife's name?" He said, "Well, her maiden name's Mary Thompson." He said, "That's my daughter." And the reality is, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. Some of you are out there going, "Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Yeah, those stories sound too good to be true. Stuff like that never happens to me." And some of you are like me and you say, "You know what? Sometimes God's crazy. Sometimes God just does big, dramatic things." And if he never has for you, if you say nothing dramatic like that has ever happened to me, let me tell you the most dramatic thing that has ever happened to you. That's that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. That he saw your need, the greatest need that you'll ever have, whether you realize it or not, and so he laid down his life for you. He met the need for you. Romans 8:1 says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." You talk about a dramatic meeting of need. So whether God ever miraculously delivers us from heartache or suffering or tragedy, or whether he gives us the strength to endure those things, we have forgiveness of sins, we have eternal life promised us because of Christ, and it doesn't get better than that. So see, Jesus welcomes our requests, and God meets our needs, and that's why we trust his promises. That's on us. We trust his promises. The prayer of faith is powerful because God responds to our requests. And we put our hope in him. We put our confidence in him. Now, again, Jesus taught us to make requests after he told us to surrender our will. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I don't think I have a slide for this, but listen carefully. Edwin Keith said, "Prayer is exhaling the spirit of man, and it's inhaling the Spirit of God." That with prayer we exhale us and we inhale him. It's about seeking God, not just telling him what to do. Prayer reminds us that he's in charge. He's going to meet our needs in his time, in his way. This is the bottom line today. God meets all of our needs in his time and in his way. And so we have to believe that. We have to trust that. God meets all of our needs in his time and in his way. And so we deliberately choose to rely on him. It's about focusing on the Father who promises to take care of us. And that's hard to do sometimes. We live in a world that's filled with pain and uncertainty and pressure. I mean, school shootings are just horrific today. But when they first started to kind of be happening and our heads were spinning, there was a cartoon in the paper, not a funny cartoon, but there was a cartoon in the paper, and it showed two kids sitting on the steps in front of a school, and one of them says to the other, "What do you want to be if you grow up? Not when, but if." And we look at our world today, we say it's like an asylum and the inmates are in charge. We say things are crazy today, but we do not give in to despair. because God can be relied upon. As followers of Jesus, we trust Him. We lean into Him. We trust His provision that He is going to meet our needs. He's going to take care of us. He can be relied upon. And so basically, we pray and then we let go. Now, we don't just wash our hands of life, but we let go of the pain and the worries and the troubles because of God's promises, because daily bread is going to come our way. He's going to meet our needs. And so we release our fear and our worry, the kinds of things that cloud our days and keep us awake at night. We release it. We let it go. We willingly, willfully choose to believe 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. Cast all of it on Him. There's no use casting our cares upon Him if we're just going to pick them all up again when we leave after our prayers. We need to trust Him. It's easier said than done. I get that. I know. But we practice this. We tell ourselves. We train ourselves. As we mature, it does get a little bit easier. He's going to meet our needs in His time and in His way. And this might literally mean that you don't know where this afternoon's meal is going to come from. And you're just going to have to trust that He's going to take care of that. It might mean that you ask God for the wisdom to deal with some decisions you're facing in your life. It might mean that you lay your calendar before the Lord every day and you just look down at what's coming and you say, Lord, I need wisdom today. I need your help today. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, I just need you in my day to help me with all of this. Maybe it means that you pray, you dial a random phone number, and you hope somebody's going to come unlock a door for you. But we pray, give us today our daily bread. That might be a prayer for rent money rather than for food. It might be a prayer that God would send you a friend. Whatever it is, God meets our needs daily. We bring our needs to Him daily, and we're reminded to thank Him daily. So look, we're going to wrap this up, and I want to hit you just really quickly with three quick bullet points, quick reminders, okay? The first one is this: daily prayer reduces anxiety. Daily prayer reduces anxiety. We're reminded who's in control. We're reminded of His promises. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thank Him for what He's done, then you will experience God's peace. It exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The peace comes after the prayer. How do we obtain peace? By trusting and praying for His provision. Second thing, daily prayer encourages our contentment. Rather than getting caught up in the materialistic mindset of our culture, prayer reminds us to be grateful for all the things God has done, all the supplies He has given, and not to be so freaked out about the things we don't have. Things that won't last. The Apostle Paul also wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. I've learned the secret of being content in any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We have the secret of being content. We can do everything. We can deal with anything through the strength that comes from Christ. And then finally, prayer. Daily prayer deepens our trust. We learn to look to God for our provisions. We don't panic about tomorrow's supplies just because they're not in the bank at this moment. We learn to believe that when tomorrow comes, God's going to be right there tomorrow just like He is today. We don't have to worry because each day is going to take care of itself with the Lord. I love Isaiah 12:2. It says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength. He's my song. He's become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. And so daily prayer reduces anxiety. It encourages contentment and it deepens trust. And so we pray. In his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, Brennan Manning tells a story about a two-story house that caught on fire in the middle of the night. And the family, there's several kids, they're rushing out into the yard to safety, and the dad kind of realizes in all the chaos that his little boy's hand is no longer clutched in his. And he's trying to figure out what to do. Going back in looks pretty disastrous, and he looks in the upstairs window, and he sees his boy there at the window, and the kid is able to open the window, but he's just crying frantically. And the dad stands down below and he says, "Son, I want you to jump. I'm going to catch you." And the little boy is just freaking out. And he says, "Daddy, I can't see you." And his dad says, "That's okay. I can see you. I can see you. Jump." Friends, we do not serve a God who is far away, who is unconcerned, who's not paying any attention. We pray to a Father we cannot see, but He can see us. He sees us every moment of every day. We pray to a Father who welcomes our requests to Him, a Father who is mighty to save, a Father who meets our needs according to His will, one day at a time. Give us today our daily bread. God meets all of our needs. He does it in His time and in His way. But He will meet your needs. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for how You are working in our lives. We look back at all that You've done and how You've brought us to this point. And for some of us, it's been a relatively smooth road. And man, for others, it has been an unbelievable journey. The highs and lows, the good and bad, maybe just the bad and worse. It's been tough. But God, You've brought us to this point, and we believe, we trust that You will see us through to the end. As we surrender to You, we find strength in You. And so, God, we pray for Your peace. We pray for Your provision. We trust You, Lord. Help us to lean into You. Help us to bring the request to You and to accept what You provide with gratitude. And we pray all this today in Jesus' name. Amen. And I told you for this whole series, we're doing the Lord's Prayer together. We're doing a different version every week. It keeps us on our toes. Okay, so let's pray this together as we finish today. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And let us not be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever. Amen. Man, love you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you.